Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. Y'all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
Let's get this bad boy started, dude. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Getting set to have a good time as we kick off yet another podcast. Your political week in review, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's painful topics for the most part, but we're here to cover them and have a little fun with them, hopefully. And talk about them in a relatable, down-to-earth sort of way. Because that's what we are. We're relatable and down-to-earth. That's what people keep telling
me. I'm here to cover you, dude. I'm going to try and drape my body on yours. I'd like to get some skin-to-skin time, if you know what I mean.
That's our OnlyFans page on YouTube right now.
Oh, damn it, man.
Focus.
Sorry, I forgot where we are. We've got a comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. Some fine people took advantage of it last week, so, and we thank them for those phone calls. It turns out we're terrible human beings, Steve Harness.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to play that, or is that the highlight right there?
That's the highlight. I mean, he didn't say any more, no more, no less. You guys are effing terrible human beings.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Obviously, he's been listening to us, if that's his assessment.
Yes, so. You are right on the money,
sir. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, that's good. I never know if those are people that actually like us and are being sarcastic, or my assumption is, yeah, they actually dislike us, which could only mean they're terrible people. I've noticed that thread throughout my life. Most people seem to really like me, but the people that hate me, and you've seen some of them through the course of our lives, what's the commonality? They're kind of crappy people, right?
That's true, dude. And they're usually hidden crappy people, but like we always find out in the end, like, oh, you had no idea you were so close to someone that was so despicable.
Right, so, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, if you find yourself disliking me or Nick, then you're a bad person. So do some soul searching. Otherwise, like, comment, share. We're live on YouTube right now, Really American Media Channel. We like
what
to
up,
co-op
YouTube?
Once a week. Yeah, they've got a list of great podcasts that are featured on there, and then the hosts that are doing the short-form videos. And we just did 600,000 subscribers to the YouTube channel today, so congrats,
everybody. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord, yeah. I saw the boss man said, like, and here's to getting the next million much faster than it took us to get here. So, yeah
you know, the first 100, the first 1,000, the first whatevers is the hardest. So, yeah, let's see how long it takes to hit a million, quite frankly. I think we can do it by the end of the year. Maybe. I mean, if today's show is a big hit, we may do it by the end of today.
Oh, well, that's a lot of pressure, but it does operate. It's a snowball effect, so we'll do what we can. Thanks for being here. Just before we hop into all of this, you should be aware that, yeah, we have social medias. And if you think we're bad people, this is a tough job, Steve, because we have to give such crappy news to people. And, like, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's hard to smile your way through it, right? Like, it gets us down.
That's what I'm saying. No, for sure. I mean, there's part of me that loves talking about and covering all this stuff, and I think it may be so I don't jump off a freaking roof, because the news has become a tad depressing. And but yeah, I'm trying to embrace it, because I guess we're here to fight back or jump off a roof.
We are here to fight back. That is exactly why we're here. Welcome to the resistance, and most importantly, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
That's right. Should we get into a little news as we take a look at this past week?
Yeah, I'm ready. Are you?
I can be ready.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Steve Harness.
A man with a plan.
Hello. And a new shirt. You like my new shirt? It's very pastel-y.
Yeah, I do like it. What color is it? It's like a greenish color or gray. Sometimes I think I'm colorblind.
It's the color of money, baby. No, yeah, it is the color of money, actually. But yeah, pastel-y. I'm trying to show my sensitive side.
You look nice today, dude.
Thank you. You look great, too.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Hey, speaking of Knicks, segue.
Ah.
And I'm sorry about that, by the way. But, yeah, boy, this mega civil war that just keeps unfolding, I am finding it hilarious. So, you know, the Epstein files, I don't know. I guess on some level I thought maybe the story wouldn't have legs, wouldn't be sustained. But we're going on like 2 weeks of Trump world saying that nothing to see here. No suicide, no list, no files, no nothing. And this is the story that just doesn't seem to want to die.
No,
unlike
dude.
Epstein.
Yeah. That's funny, dude. You thought this one was going to die right away?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, Trump has this magical ability to get stuff not to last in the news cycle. And normally, when he tells his little maggots to, you know, shut up or move on, they tend to jump in line. But it's not happening right now. I mean, some of them maybe did, but did you see this thing, Laura Ingraham on Fox News last night? She was going to commercials, and she said she had a Trump Epstein story coming up, and then they never did the story.
No, I did not see that. I did see her speak a day or two ago where she was like, basically, you know, she was outraged. She was one of the ones that were outraged. And then she basically said, like, it is time to move on. Like, progress we need to make, and we're going to stop talking about this. Why do you think she did that? Who gave the word?
I mean, I think the conspiracy theory is someone in Trump world called them and was like, don't you effing do that story. But I don't have any proof of that. But it was in her teleprompter for some reason to say the story was coming up, and then they just never did it. So maybe someone put it in there, and she said during commercials, like, we're not doing that. Donnie called me yesterday. I'm not supposed to talk about that.
Well, we know that, I mean, we've all been aware of the fact that, like, he has a direct line to Sean Hannity. He's had it for a long time. So I don't think it has to stop there. I mean, yeah, if the president wants to get in touch with you or me or anyone else, I think that he could do it at the drop of a hat, you know.
He could, but he should not have the free time, or he should certainly not be watching television to want to comment on Hannity or Ingraham or any of the others. But here we are.
Completely.
But, what do you know about Nick Fuentes? What's your thoughts? What's your opinions on this individual?
Well, let's just start off by saying, if you don't know, I hate that he's a namesake. I hate the fact that we share a name, first of all, because he's about the slimiest person opposite of me, you know, that I could ever think about. Like, he hates women. You know, Nick Fuentes is a racist, as far as I'm concerned. He's a homophobic person. I mean, definitely. Just keep checking the frickin' boxes. Like, this guy's he's a real turd, Steve.
Look at it this way, Nick. You only have one mega world guy right now that I'm aware of. You got Nick Fuentes that brings bad juju to the nickname. I got Steve Bannon and Steve Miller, Stephen Miller, not to disparage the rock star, who I do have a story about that maybe we'll get to today. But yeah, I got at least two Steves in mega world. So
yeah, I feel for you. I mean, to be connected to either one of those jackasses is crazy. But I will say that for those of you who could be listening or watching, if you don't know who Nick Fuentes is, he was the guy who quite famously went on a line right after Roe v. Wade was canceled. And he was like, your body, my choice, ladies. Like, yeah, he's that douchebag.
Yeah, and he's done all sorts of rants about how he wants America to look like the American Taliban as far as being a religiously controlled government, and he wants, you know, homosexuality outlawed and sodomy outlawed. Heterosexual sodomy, too? I mean, let's not take options off the list there, Fuentes.
No, dude, you're really boxing me in here.
Right. But, so he came out this week as part of this mega civil war with a little tirade that I have to say, like, I'm not condoning the man. I'm not saying all of his sins have been erased by any freaking means whatsoever. But he actually went on a tangent that either you and I could have said or probably have said many times.
Yeah, 100%. He is he's kind of late to the party. I mean, we've seen even Charlie Kirk got his panties in a wad over this whole thing. And I hate that douchebag, too, by the way. He's a real piece of crap. Candace Owens. I mean, the list goes on and on of the people who have come and said, like, hey, wait, you told us you were going to release these Epstein files. It's one of the reasons I voted for you. And first Pam Bondi says, it's on my desk. And then next day she's like, there are no. What files? Abracadabra. So people have been speaking out. The fact that Nick Fuentes stepped up, I want to just double down on your point, Steve. when we agree with these asshats like Elon Musk, you know, I'm not agreeing like, oh, now they're saying what I like. I really like these people. No, I still think they're crap bags and everything else. But I want to point out that even a crap bag is right once in a while, right?
Once in a while. Because I did a story for this on Really American this week, and I made a distinct point not to say that, like a broken clock, he's right twice a day. Because that would imply he's right not only twice a day, but he's been right in the past. And I don't think he's ever been right before. So I got the video clip. Let me see if let me see if this is going to work, and then we'll watch and dissect.
The Epstein cover-up? Oh, I don't want your support. You're a weakling. Fuck you. Fuck you. You suck. You are fat. You are a joke. You are stupid. You are not funny. You are not as smart as you think you are. You are, and honestly, and if you watch my show, you know I've been very critical. I've never been this far. This just goes to show this entire thing has been a scam. When we look back on the history of populism in America, we are going to look back on the MAGA movement as the biggest scam in American history. And the liberals were right. What? The MAGA supporters were had. They were.
Wow.
That's something. I mean, it, spot on. Like we, you know, I'm not, there's nothing he said that's wrong there, in my opinion, you know.
No. I mean, that's the funniest part. I mean, it's kind of pathetic that this is what it took for him to see all that stuff. But, I mean, talk about going from zero to 60. I mean, yeah, he's right. F you, he said to Trump twice. He said he was fat. He said he wasn't as smart as he thinks he is. He said he was not funny. And that MAGA will go down as the greatest scam in American political history. All of which is correct, but hallelujah. Thank you for taking your head out of your ass and finally seeing the light of day.
Completely, dude. That's unbelievable only to hear it from him. I mean, we've been saying the same crap for a long time, right? But to hear it from him is like, oh my gosh, we so rarely see anyone from MAGA get information that actually sinks in. Sometimes we see a little hint of it, you know what I mean? But to have him speak that so plainly and clearly, it was just, the first time I watched it, my mouth was agape. I was just, you know, I couldn't believe it. So it is funny to see all these people fall in line. He also went on to say in that same rant, he was like, the Democrats should annihilate MAGA. They should impeach Trump. They should ruin everything that's happening here.
Yeah, let us know how to do that, because I'm all in favor of it.
Right.
So. And also, I mean, Trump this week, when what Fuentes there was referencing, he was also right, saying that they're all stupid and that they're weaklings for falling for this Democratic hoax, which is so funny to hear him now try to call this a Democratic hoax.
Oh, come on, dude. I mean, look, we have all the facts. We've talked about this already. This is gaslighting to the 100th degree. But yeah, to have Trump spin on his own base, he told you a long time ago, I love the poorly educated. He knew who you were back then, and he started to talk nice because you were doing exactly what he wanted. The minute that you just kind of start to move a little bit, you're losers and everything else. So, I mean, that's his true character.
Yeah. It's funny to me how easily they all turned on each other. I know they aligned on so many things and that wall stood pretty strong, but boy, this one collapsed rather quickly. And talk about infighting. I mean, this is like you get in a skirmish with your wife and you're just like, you dumb bitch. Like, whoa. Like,
yes.
I thought we were just having a disagreement here. Wow. That's a pent-up animosity.
Completely. Everything that's going on the MAGA side right now is obviously fun for us to watch. There's so many people out there talking about, oh, you know, the Democrats, you guys are all just cruel, wanting to see everything break apart and people be hurt and everything. I didn't conjure this up. Like, this is all karma coming around. She's a bitch. We told you.
Right. What was your brother saying, your MAGA brother, when you said, like, hey, what do you think about the Epstein list? Is Trump on it?
You know, this is what I always hear. When I talk to, you know, there's not too many people that I love that are on this MAGA side. You know, it's taken effort to try and look the other way on some of this stuff. But it's always the same thing with these people. They're always like, but what about Clinton? He was there. Like, I don't care. If Clinton was there, screw Bill Clinton. I don't care who is there. Obviously, anyone who's on that list, you're a terrible person. We're talking, however, about Trump right now. So, like, let's just keep the conversation here. Why are you trying to run away from it?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, Clinton looks like a bit of a skeleton, but yeah, they're trying to dig that skeleton out of the closet. As if any of us are talking about Bill Clinton anymore, or holding him up as sort of a gold standard of something. Like, I don't care who's on that list. I mean, if Obama's on the list, which he's not, but I mean, if he were... Right. Fine, out them. Like, this is the difference between the two sides. They have this blind loyalty, you know, don't ever convict, impeach, ask to resign, anything. Whereas Democrats, maybe almost too quickly sometimes, are like, no, if you're accused of something, let alone convicted of it, we're like, get the hell out of here. We don't want you anymore. Look at Al Franken in Minnesota. I mean, that poor guy didn't get convicted of anything. A mildly racy picture came out years ago. We immediately threw him out.
Yeah, he was done. You're right. I mean, and that's how it should go, especially in politics. You know, you could have other choices in your family and stuff like that, and I would understand it more. But as far as, like, our political leaders, people that we voted in to office to do certain things, when the scandal hits and there's proof right there, it's public opinion. I get to decide whether, I don't trust you anymore, or I think you're a real crap bag, or you're a pedophile, whatever you may be, but I'm going to judge you. You're on a stage of judgment.
And speaking of Bill Clinton and Trump and MAGA World and all that, like, I remember we were in, like, high school, I guess, when Clinton got impeached, or maybe right after high school, but I remember thinking, like, boy, we take impeachment very seriously in this country because Clinton lied under oath about something that had nothing to do with the trial, politics. I mean, he lied about cheating on his wife, but he was under oath, so that's perjury, and they impeached him. And I just remember thinking, like, woof, boy, that's a low bar. So apparently we will impeach a president for any minorest of infractions.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to Trump, who's breaking actual laws, committing felonies, and we're like, man, he's doing it out in the open. I mean, he's not hiding his crypto or his, you know, interfering with the Ukraine, lying about this, that, and the other thing. I mean, accusations of sexual assault, actual convictions for sexual assault. Like, man.
Sure. Yeah. There's a guy who said he would sleep with his daughter if she wasn't his daughter. Like, I mean, we could talk about, everyone knows at this point what a meatball Trump is. But you're exactly right. Impeachment, I'm over impeachment, dude. I've never seen it do anything good. Like, all it seems to be is a stain on your reputation.
Well, the problem with Clinton is the same thing that happened to Trump, is we did the first part of impeachment but didn't actually throw him out of office. I think that's where it stings and sets in, but that didn't happen. What do you think about Trump saying now that they should release the pertinent information on the Epstein files? And apparently just today they went to the courts and asked them to unseal the grand jury testimony. So pertinent information. Why wouldn't you just do all of it? Because obviously, if we're going to let them decide what's pertinent, it might be every name except for one obvious one.
Listen, dude, this is, I mean, now we're talking about this, right, as a country, and I'm forced to look into this a whole lot deeper than I did initially, and really want to. They're talking about the fact that we don't know if Epstein was a spy, if he was hanging with other countries, and there's actual information in there that if it was let out, not about pedophilia, nothing like that, but if it was let out, that it could be damaging to our country. It could be a national security issue. So,
yeah,
I mean, they're not going to obviously have to release that stuff, but you know what we want. What we want, dude. And I can translate pertinent information from Trump. Any info that doesn't have me on it is, you can release it. You know, that's basically what he's saying.
Yeah. I saw a survey the other day, and I put it in one of my stories, that 3% of Americans, 3%, think that enough information has been released on the Epstein files. That would mean 97% of us are on the same page. And what topic can you think of that 97% of us actually would agree on?
Maybe like a puny and peepee, you know, like
you know, poon and peen. Is that what you mean? Yeah, sure.
Yes, dude. But, yeah. But aside from that, I mean, look, you're right. I mean, 97% when this country is completely divided, that is fascinating to me. And what's wrong with that 3%, dude?
Well, my joke was that those are the members of the Trump family. They're the 3% that said, "No, we're good. We got enough."
Yeah. No, this is all crazy, dude. Do you think we're actually going to get anything? Because now they're just playing catch up from their lies, right? I don't believe anything you say. I don't believe anything you say. So
no, that's the problem. Whatever comes out now, we're all going to assume you edited it, took something off of it. Now, if this grand jury testimony is truly unsealed, like from the court records, like that might be something. Because we've already seen some testimony from people that have accused Trump in the Epstein thing of raping them, including a girl who was 13. Like, there's court testimony about that. Problem is, it was never corroborated. There was no, you know, never went to fruition in trial. And that's why most of the media won't cover it, because it was an accusation and that was it. But it's stuff like that will probably be in there. And at this point, it's just fuel on the fire. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we'll take what we can get. But much like the Kennedy files, where Trump unsealed 95% of them, okay, what's in the remaining 5%?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Don't tell us, you know, why would you release it otherwise? Like, you're just giving us information that can't go anywhere. So just keep it at that point. It's all crazy, dude. Did you see his letter that they posted in the paper today?
His letter, the birthday card thing or what?
Yeah, the birthday card thing.
Yes, I find that hilarious. So first of all, I just, breaking news alert that came in here. Trump files a libel lawsuit against the Wall Street Journal's publisher, Rupert Murdoch, over this Jeffrey Epstein birthday card thing. Because he is, of course, saying it's fake news, but obviously it's not. I mean, not only did they corroborate what it was, but it clearly has his signature on it. And did you hear this defense today that Trump's never drawn anything? He's never drawn a doodle before. Why would he have done a doodle for Epstein?
Unbelievable. He said, "I don't write pictures."
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I don't
that
write
is a
pictures.
Weird.
Yeah. Like, wow, dude.
Again, is that what he was trying to claim? I don't write pictures either. I draw them. So was he trying to say, like, And Don Jr. put out a whole tweet like, "I've never seen my dad draw anything ever once ever yet." He's done multiple drawings that have been sold at auctions. I mean, they're not great artwork or anything, but he clearly does do some doodles when the mood strikes.
What have you seen a picture of it?
I've not seen the birthday card picture. I've seen some of his doodles.
Okay,
but I saw Wolf Blitzer try to describe the pubic hair thing, and Wolf looked like he was about to choke on his microphone.
Yeah, I thought something, and maybe this is just maybe I'm going to admit I've got a dirty mind, but when I thought about this morning and I heard this, I was like, he drew pubic hair on there. I was like, maybe it's not real, because as far as we know, Jeffrey Epstein didn't like much pubic hair. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Well, apparently it was his signature, that squiggly Donald Trump signature, but he did it in the groin area and tried to make it look like it was pubic hair.
So
and another
creepy
story came out this week about an old casino worker at Trump's place in Atlantic City. Then him and Epstein showed up with a 19-year-old woman, and the floor manager had to come and tell him, like, first of all, she's 19. You can't have her on the casino floor unless you're 21. We could lose our license. Secondly, sir, this may look a little bad that the two of you have a 19-year-old girl here at 1 o'clock in the morning at a casino.
Wow. Yeah. I think, you know, and so far they're right. I mean, they can do it because they're never going to be held accountable for it, you know.
Yes.
There's no accountability with either of the two. So yeah, I mean, it's creepy. We all know Trump's creepy, dude. I mean, even if you're a Trump lover, you have to be able to admit that that guy is creepy. From the testimony of Stormy Daniels, that was him banging a porn star, and it was creepy. The stuff that he talked about in there, you know? So yeah, we all know that he's a sleaze bag from the very beginning of this whole ride. Remember locker room talk? And remember, you know, like, I take part in locker room talk. I mean, not in a locker room, but, you know, like, you and I can get down with joking around about stuff. But I have never said anything like that. Like, I can just grab somebody and forcefully rape them, basically. You know, that's not locker room talk.
No, and the kind of dudes that are having that kind of locker room talk are the date raping sort of jock douchebags. So that's no defense that it's locker room talk. It's insult to locker rooms. Let's see. Michelle on YouTube says, if there's nothing to hide, then there's nothing to redact. So, yeah, kudos. Let's see. This will backfire. You want to know why? I do, true parrot or whatever. Tell us why. Someone else said, I love you both. You keep us sane. Appreciate that. Yeah. And is Donald a predator? Yes, is the answer to your question. On so many levels, he is.
Yeah, sexual predator. I mean, yeah, I think he is a predator on many levels.
And now he has predator drones at his disposal. So, I mean, he's a predator multiple ways over.
Yeah, that's creepy.
So, yeah,
where are we gonna go, Steve Harness? Where are we gonna go in this country?
I don't know. Should we move on to another story? You got any other Epstein thoughts? Because the story's not going away. I know there are shenanigans going on out there. And oh, by the way, this whole edited prison video—that was a whole other thing I talked about this week. Did you get the gist on that story?
Well, I mean, what I had heard them say is that, you know, there was just video. You're talking about the video that was missing in the prison videos?
Well, there's two shady things. One, there's a minute missing, which they try to claim every night at 11:59, the prison security system resets itself and it never records that minute, which, I don't believe that. But B, what kind of prison would have a system like that? So every night, you know, there's a 1 minute window where any shenanigans, it's like the purge for 1 minute every night in prison.
Yes. Yeah.
But the other part was the metadata that some, you know, forensic people analyzed.
No, tell me about it, please.
Well, so let me ask you this. If you were editing a video, because you and I both edit video all the time, if you saved your work four times in a 20-minute window, why would you do that? Why would you save your work multiple times in a 20-minute window?
It's
not a trick question.
Okay, probably because my computer's crashed or I'm afraid I don't want to lose it. You know?
Bingo. Yes, you're doing edits, and you don't want to lose them. That's why you save your work. Yeah. So the metadata shows that that file was compiled from two sources, not from one, and that it was saved four times in a 23-minute window, I think it was. So they're claiming it's raw footage, yet it isn't. It's from two sources, but the end product is only one video shot, and there were edits done to it. If you're exporting a raw video file to surveillance, that should be easy breezy. You take the file, maybe you save, you know, change the format type or something, but there's no reason to be saving edits. What are you editing?
Yeah, I mean, you know that I worked in the security field for a while, and I worked with banks and security cameras and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when we would go to get footage of something off one of these banks, DVRs or whatever, certainly, you put in the time parameters, and it spits out that raw footage. Unedited, not fade in, fade out, like just unedited raw footage.
Yes, and that's the other thing, fade in, fade out. If you're going to release some video and claim it's raw, but there needed to be an edit for some reason, you do some very obvious transition, or you mark it as an like you disclose that somehow so that it's clear there's an edit, and they did not do that either. And I think it was Wired magazine. They talked to a forensic expert at UC Berkeley who does a lot of video stuff for court testimonies and whatnot. And they asked this guy, would this be acceptable as evidence in a court trial as it is right now? And the guy said, no, it's not. You don't screw around with official evidence. So you take it directly from the source. There should be no editing, any edits you disclose. Like, I would tell someone to go back and do this again and no monkey business. So obviously there is monkey business.
Listen. This is absolutely nuts, okay? Because you know that I edit video for court proceedings, and it cannot, even when you're talking about when you have to make an edit, you know, that you should show that there's an edit there. So everyone is completely clear. Most of the time, in most situations, that's not even, you can't edit it. You can't edit it. It needs to be the raw footage. So, yeah, that's BS. Right. That's complete BS.
Yeah. It's like I said, if you're going to claim that it's this raw video and people are chiming in, it's missing 3 minutes. I have heard that. I didn't actually see that in the video, but whatever. It's missing 1 minute, 3 minutes. Like, it shouldn't be missing any minutes, period. And yeah, there's clearly shenanigans going on there. So the story's not going to die. I am curious to see where we will be next week when we talk about the week in review as to what the hell has happened since. So. Fun stuff.
Welcome to Political Week in Review, the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. What up, YouTube? Thanks for chatting along with us. A couple of weeks ago, Steve Harness, our very own talented Steve Harness, brought up a news story that was talking about a lawsuit with 60 Minutes and Paramount and everything like that. Do you remember the story?
I do very well, yes. Yeah, just
I just want the highlight of it.
Yeah, essentially, so Trump sued 60 Minutes. He claimed deceptive editing. But Paramount, who owns CBS, is trying to merge with Sundance Films, two gigantic companies that require FCC approval, which, of course, is under Trump's domain now. So they were, for some reason, trying to negotiate a settlement over a lawsuit that should have been laughed out of court, that they should have stood on journalistic and First Amendment integrity and fought back. But instead, they started negotiating. And I don't know, about a week ago, announced that they were going to settle. I think it was $16 million they were willing to pay. Trump wanted more, of course. But yeah, they essentially paid what definitely looks like a bribe. And what a lot of Democrats are saying is going to be investigated, because you can't pay somebody who's about to approve a multi-billion-dollar merger.
Yes. No, you can't. You're not supposed to be able to. You can, but you're not supposed to be able to do that. Well, some news hit TV last night, and I wonder if we can draw any parallels between the two of these things.
Before we start the show, I want to let you know something that I found out just last night. Next year will be our last season. The network will be ending The Late Show in May. And...
Boo.
Yeah, I share your feelings. It's not just the end of our show, but it's the end of The Late Show on CBS. I'm not being replaced. This is all just going away. And I do want to say... I do want to say that the folks at CBS have been great partners.
Oh, Steven.
Up until the end, yes.
Yeah. Why did you have to include that last part? I mean, so far the break seems to be, I don't know, they're talking to each other nicely. Stephen Colbert saying nice things about them and vice versa. Do you think this has anything to do with political pressure from
Yes. Of course it does. Not only probably political pressure from Trump and another way to appease him, but Colbert has not been pulling his punches, lashing out at Paramount. I mean, he made a joke like 2 days ago that the punchline was essentially, this is a bribe. Like he on their own network said, this is a bribe to Trump world. And then like 2 days later, they fire him for... what do they call it? Financial reasons. Maybe don't give Trump $16 million and keep the Colbert show going for another year or two. Like, how can you pay somebody that bribe of $16 million and then claim you're going to fire the guy at the center of it, or at least related to it, because you don't have enough money to keep the show going?
Dude, if you know anything, just, I mean, look into the financials. This is complete BS. Okay, to take a... institution of a show like this, that he was leading the ratings in all of late night talk at this point. And I mean, this is complete pressure from the orange meatball. And this is, I can't believe, the only thing that confuses me is, you know, we worked in radio for a long time. And when they tell you, oh, it's your last show, like you leave the bill, they don't tell you 2 weeks before you leave. So what does the next 10 months look like for Stephen Colbert? Right. And will he have to worry about going to prison? Because, I mean, if this was politically motivated and pressure, whatever you think it might be, where the powers are in 10 months is going to be a much different landscape than it is right now. So do you think he'll keep talking crap?
Oh, heck yeah. I would assume he'll double and triple down. And why I wouldn't hope. He? And yeah. I love that you brought that point up because I just jotted a note like firing in radio. Because you and I know you don't fire someone and then let them stay on air. Because the microphone is the most dangerous piece of equipment at a radio station or a TV station. Because now you can go on air and rant and rave. What do you care? You already lost your job. So I don't know what that move is about, to give him a 10-month heads up. And if they try to strangle him and, you know, gag him and not let him talk about stuff, you know that's going to come out. And otherwise, I mean, you don't wind up the talent and set them loose on the airwaves.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me. So, you know, I think this next 10 months, I don't think he'll last that long. I like Stephen Colbert a whole bunch, but I don't think he'll last that long because I don't think he's going to let up. I think he's going to keep doubling down on Trump. He's never pulled his punches with Trump. He's been one of the more honest. I mean, well, we've got Kimmel. And we've got Colbert. They've both been honest about what a douchebag Trump is. Yeah. I don't really see Jimmy Fallon stepping into the same arena. You know what I mean?
Not much. Seth Meyers does, though. He does a good job.
Oh, yes. He does. Seth is great. So,
and I've heard some people in the media today, like late night TV, it's not as profitable as it used to be. Well, then make it profitable, like either pare down the staff or sell more sponsorships, like go generate the money. Don't just tell me it just doesn't work anymore because somehow, you know, Fallon didn't get fired and Kimmel didn't get fired. Although Trump said today, I hear Kimmel's next, like he did a little victory dance on Colbert, but Colbert will be fine. I mean, worst case, he's going to do what we're all doing. Go to the podcast, to the streaming world, like overhead is way down and the viewership is way the hell up. So come on over to Really American Media there, Colbert.
Yeah, maybe he'll go back to Comedy Central. I mean, there's going to be a late night show for him somewhere. The thing that's really interesting to me is maybe it's not as profitable as it used to be, late night TV. It's still profitable. And what are you going to put on reruns of the A-Team or something in its spot? Like, what takes this the place of late night TV that could make anywhere close to the money that this makes?
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody named Butt Hurts on here. That's a good name. He said, I guess I won't watch CBS anymore until Colbert is off the air. It was the only show I watched on CBS. So, yeah, I mean, that's a really valid point. There are so many TV shows that just aren't even worth watching anymore. But the original late night comedy and commentary and stuff, that still is. So I don't know if he's going to end up on HBO or in the podcasting world or whatever, but he'll be just fine. So Trump's little victory lap that he got fired, ha, 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 like he's just going to go to another gig. Like, he will live on and he will still be a thorn in Trump's side for years to come. And when Trump is either out of office or dead in the next 3 years with all this medical stuff now coming out, like,
yeah,
Colbert will live on. Trump will not.
Let me tell you, this is funny, dude, that, you know, he commented on, you know, taking Rosie O'Donnell's citizenship away from her. You know,
what the hell's that?
That's a whole ball of wax we can get into another time. Here's what I want you to think about. He's had a decades long feud with Rosie O'Donnell. The most, I don't dislike Rosie O'Donnell, but she's irrelevant at this point. She has been for a long time, and he has not been able to let this go. So he is definitely not going to let Stephen Colbert out of his talons. And it'll be fun to see where it goes, because I don't think Stephen is worried about it at all. He'll just have to find another platform, like you said. But next 10 months should be fun.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what will happen, because there are members of Congress and the Senate today that have said, like, this should be investigated. This seems like it's either part of this bribe or, you know, some sort of retaliation. But just announced today, the Writers Guild calling on New York Attorney General to investigate the Colbert cancellation as a Trump bribe.
Yeah.
The guild, whose members include all the writers. I mean, it's part of the union for these kind of guys. Like, yeah, they're calling on New York's attorney general, who is not a big fan of Trump, to look into this, because it does seem a little stinky.
It does, dude, for sure. And, we all know how Letitia James operates. Like, I think it'll be thoroughly inspected and she'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. The $16 million settlement came as Paramount works to complete a mega merger with fellow Hollywood giant Skydance. I said the deal was worth a few billion. It's worth $28 billion, yet they can't afford Colbert anymore.
Yeah. Do you understand what $1 billion is, dude? I mean, have you been able to comprehend? I mean, it's nowhere near a million, right? You know, millions and billions. $1 billion? Yes, they can keep Stephen Colbert to do The Late Show. This is for another reason. So I hope she looks into it. I hope they find something. And he was like, I'm going to sue him as I've sued many. Yeah, that's nothing to be proud of, dude. I've never sued anybody. I'll tell you, and I'm 49 years old. I don't wear it as a badge of honor, but most normal people who operate under good circumstance don't usually have to sue a lot of people.
Right. And you're married to a lawyer. You could get free legal representation and sue all day long.
Yes, I could, dude. Jeez.
So, yeah, I'm curious. What will the Attorney General of New York do? What will any of our elected officials do? And, we'll see where this goes. Someone on here saying, I only watch Colbert on YouTube anyway. Like, that's a very valid point. I don't actually tune on CBS when I watch any of these people. It's all clips on social media. So forget the Ed Sullivan Theater. Just come on. Do it. I'm in my freaking room at my house here. Like, I'm sure Colbert's got a spare room and can set up a studio and do the exact same freaking show. And he employs like 200 people, which is a lot, but keep 10, 20 writers or whatever you need and do your show. Profit margins will be way, way up and you'll probably get more viewership. So
look what Conan was able to do, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, it'll happen. So, well, we'll see where it goes. Hey, as we start to dwindle the clock down, let's talk about health. I want to talk about Doogie Howser. I want to talk about real doctors and Trump's health, please.
Okay. Yes.
Do we want to talk about, let's just say this. I'm going to play a video of, Caroline Leavitt talking about Trump's health. People are concerned. People have been saying, oh, his hands are bruised. His ankles are swollen. He's wearing a catheter. He's got something up his butt. So we're going to play her response. Okay.
On another note, I know that many in the media have been speculating about, bruising on the president's hand and also swelling in the president's legs. So in the effort of transparency, the president wanted me to share a note from his physician with all of you today. In recent weeks, President Trump noted mild swelling in his lower legs.
That doesn't look mild, just first and foremost. Like, that doesn't look mild, right? No. And let's just remember, as she finishes a statement, this is the same doctor that said Trump is 6'3 and 210 pounds. You know, the doctor, right?
And who has never released a full medical report on the man.
No. That's why I'm calling for Doogie Howser to take over as the White House official doctor, okay? All right, continue, Carol.
Keeping with routine medical care and out of an abundance of caution, this concern was thoroughly evaluated by the White House medical unit. The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition, particularly in individuals over the age of 70. Importantly, there was no evidence of deep vein thrombosis or arterial disease. Laboratory testing included a complete blood count, comprehensive metabolic panel,
blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to pronounce all these big words.
I do, too. I just see Trump's ears peak up when he hears deep vein thrombosis. He's like, deep vein thrombosis.
Did you notice how medical, she tried to emphasize benign and normal?
Yes. Yes. None of this is benign and normal. And when she says that most people over 70 have the same thing happening, it's just factually untrue. I mean, doctors, nurses, people are coming out and saying, no, this is not that common. And it's something to be worried about.
Yeah. Nope. Check out a story newly posted on Really American Media today where I cover this exact topic and I poke all sorts of holes in it because much like the cover-up makeup on his hand, there certainly seems to be a cover-up going on here on 10 levels and a lot of projecting. Because keep in mind, how many times did Trump say, you know, Biden was covering it up. He had to have that cancer for years. You know, I don't believe that no doctors saw this. Like, he could be talking about himself, that this has been going on for years and that it's clearly been covered up, literally on the hand and figuratively. This whole I looked this up today, okay, because I do a little fact-checking, and there are like five stages of this CVI, and it is stage four where you will get to the discoloration on the skin. Stage three is the swelling of your, you know, extremities, the legs, which they've admitted to. But you have to be at stage four to get to this discoloration. So they're claiming that when he had his, you know, physical 3 months ago, this didn't come up. So it's brand new within 3 months. Bull-loney.
No, it's not, dude. Isn't stage five death? I mean, there's no stage five, right? Like, well, I mean, that's the truth.
I think there may be a stage five and six, but it's getting more and more serious, and you're only going to have that if you've got vascular, like heart issues. And this can be benign, and it can be somewhat common, but not always. And when you're trying to cover it up, it obviously makes us all think there's way more going on. Why wouldn't you have admitted to this months ago while you're out there railing that Biden is hiding his medical issues, which was debatable, but... Yeah, this seems like an overt projecting and covering up going on.
He's never admitted anything true about his health. I mean, this has obviously been happening for a while. We've been seeing the pictures of his supposed catheter in his pants and health officials making different statements on it. When you connect all the dots, I mean, they've kind of figured out what's going on here. But what happened to transparency, dude, in you know, the medical conditions of a president? When I was thinking about this today, dude, I thought to myself, like, I obviously want to know. But I mean, I feel like we're in a situation right now where it wouldn't even matter because, hey, there's nothing we can do about it. And I don't think Congress, I don't think anyone would do anything about it. You know?
About him what? Hiding his medical information?
Being very sick. I don't think it would say, like, you need to step aside, sir. You know, J.D. Oh. Vance should come in here and start working this. Like, no one's going to do anything, so he doesn't even have to release his medical stuff.
Yeah. No, there is the 25th Amendment where his cabinet could do that kind of thing, but you're right. They will not. Yeah. And they tried to say that the reason his hand is bruising is because of the aspirin he's on as part of this, you know, vascular thing. Because aspirin is a blood thinner, but it is the most low level of a blood thinner there is out there. And part of the story I did today featured a cardiologist talking about the fact that I have seen bruising like that in my patients, but only when they're on a heavy duty blood thinner, not on aspirin. So even this doctor said, I question the White House's assessment that aspirin would cause that, because he's a doctor, a cardiologist. He said, I've never seen bruising like that from aspirin. And if you're on a more heavy duty blood thinner, you obviously have a more serious issue.
Yes. Dude, my mom is on that baby aspirin that she takes every day. I've never seen any bruises. I've never seen any swollen ankles on her. Like, I realize this happens to other people, but that's not the point of all of this. It's that not only now do we know that, I mean, we've known for a long time he's physically unhealthy, but now that we know that he's got actually something happening to him, and he's also mentally unhealthy, like, this is really who's steering this bad boy right now, you know?
So the story I did today on Really American, I ended it with something that I'm worried I'm going to get a little trouble for, but I prefaced it like Secret Service. I'm not calling on his death. I'm not hoping for his death. But let's be real here. With the mental decline we're talking about and we've seen, with these new health issues that have been announced, with his old statements about he doesn't believe in exercise because it wears down your internal battery, the fact that he eats McDonald's like it's going out of style, like, the man is not healthy. He is our second oldest president ever. Like, I think it is time for the Deadpool. I do not think he is living through the next 3 years of this presidency. So I made my official prediction today, 2026, because that's how the Deadpool normally works. You pick a year. I think 2026 is when, and again, Secret Service, not asking for it, wishing for it, of natural causes, I predict he will die next year.
Well, I don't have much to say about that, but I do.
Only one of us should be arrested.
Right? Somebody's got to carry the torch, dude. But I support you. I'll say that. Okay.
Thank you. Well, when I'm in Guantanamo, you know, make sure you go on, you know, the national media and get us a little attention.
Gosh, dude.
I'm curious to see what the comments will be on there, and or if really American freaks out on me. I don't think it's raw. We do Deadpool for everyone else. We do it for celebrities. I mean, I've been predicting Pete Davis, Davidson will die for years now. No one's arresting me for that. I'm just saying he's an old man with obvious health issues, a stressful job, a terrible lifestyle. I don't think it's inappropriate to predict the man cannot live much longer. Not just that I want President Pence.
No, just to be bipartisan, I think Bill Clinton's probably close on that list, too. You know. So.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. So, no, that's a real story, and I'm curious to see where it goes, because the man is falling apart. I mean, just literally and figuratively. We know he craps his pants regularly. We know he drifts mentally all the time. I love that he railed this week on Powell, the Fed chair. Like, who appointed this guy?
Yes.
You.
So crazy, dude, that people don't look at that and think, oh, my God, dude, he doesn't even know what he's done. You know what else we could talk about? This also relates to his mental decline. I don't know if it relates to him being a liar or just mental decline, but this happened earlier this week as well.
Well, my uncle was at MIT, one of the great professors, 51 years, whatever. He was the longest serving professor in the history of MIT, 3 degrees in nuclear, chemical, and math. That's a smart man. Kaczynski was one of his students. Do you know who Kaczynski was? There's very little difference between a madman and a genius. But Kaczynski, I said, what kind of a student was he, Uncle John, Dr. John Trump? He said, what kind of a student? And then he said, seriously good. He said he'd go around correcting everybody. But
yeah, he was 12.
It didn't work out too well for him. Didn't work out too well.
What the hell?
It didn't.
Where the hell did he pull that story from? Because it's 100% untrue. First of all, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, did not go to MIT, period. But Trump's uncle died in like 1985. We didn't find out who the Unabomber was until 1996. So his uncle, even if somehow he crossed paths with him, could not have possibly known he was the Unabomber. So that story is just 1,000% wrong.
It's a hunt. Yes, it's 1,000% fake. I don't know why he would even. It's like the whole Hannibal Lecter thing. You know, he's a nice guy. He wants to have you for dinner. You know, like he likes talking about these weird freaking things. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he was Kaczynski was a recluse in Montana prior to him being captured. So like there's no chance in hell that any of that is true.
No. I feel like Trump is that guy at the bar that just tells baloney stories, because when you're sitting at the bar with three dudes, no one's fact-checking it or has any way to know. But he goes on international media and tells stories like that are just insanely false and wrong. And does he know that it's wrong, or is he that mentally declined that somehow he thinks my uncle knew the Unabomber?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, we've talked about this before, that when you lie to yourself enough, like you start believing your own stuff. So maybe he does. I mean, but he's obviously crazy. Caroline Leavitt was called out on, and they were like, they said everything we just said. They asked Caroline Leavitt. She was like, he does have a letter from his uncle sitting in the Oval Office, and maybe I'll show it to you someday. He was a very smart man, and the president's proud of him. Didn't mention a word in her answer about Kaczynski. It was like the
reporter's we were disputing that you have an uncle that was a professor. That was not the question.
Like, we know. And she just moved on. And gosh, whenever that happens, I would demand, I guess that's why I'm not there. I would stand up and I say, you didn't answer the question. Like, I don't know how they're able to get away with it. It just infuriates me.
Do you have any level of sympathy for her for having one of the worst jobs on the planet?
No, I think she loves it, dude. I think she loves that job. I think she is a little butt girl. I have no sympathy for her whatsoever.
Yeah, propaganda Barbie. Some people are chiming in on my comment about the Deadpool. Somebody wants to know when next year so they can plan a party. I'm gonna say February. So he'll do it during my birthday month. I don't have any hard evidence on that, but it would certainly make for it. That'll be my 50th birthday, by the way. What a gift would that be?
What a gift, dude. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's put it. You got to write it down, dude, so we can revisit this.
Oh, it's all documented, and I'm sure the court transcripts will also will back all of this up as well. So,
okay.
Yes. Someone said Trump is more of a Timothy McVeigh than a Unabomber. Yeah, that's probably fair.
He's more of a John Wayne Gacy, dude.
Yeah, right. We only have a few minutes left. Part of me wants to end on sort of an upbeat story, but what else do you got?
We can end on an upbeat story. I mean, I don't have anything upbeat. So if you have something, please take the wheel.
I do. So it felt so good this week. I did a story on Really American about Barack and Michelle Obama. And the yes. fact that these wild divorce rumors have finally been shot in the head. But a couple of things. One, it just felt so good to do a story about the Obamas and to listen to them talk intelligently and show their love and affection for each other. Michelle never swatted Barack's hand away or something. They were seen together in the same room. Like, it was just so good to cover the Obamas again.
Dude, you know when, I mean, let's talk about Trump and Melania. Like, you can obviously tell that she is disgusted with that poopy pants, disgusting man of a human being. It's great to be able to see they were not sitting by each other for a lot of this interview. You know, they were sitting across the room from each other, and you can just tell that they love each other. I mean, even yes. when they're not speaking, the way they look at each other, their energy around each other, and you're right, it is so good. Every time I see something like that, I do enjoy it when you say, oh, this is good news, this is great, but then I fall into further depression because I'm looking at the polar opposite of what that was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's no wonder we need a little presidential palate cleanser to see a couple that actually care about each other and, you know, could display love. And yes, how preposterous. I think I have spent more nights at the White House in the last 6 months than Melania Trump has. I mean, it is so clear. I don't know if he's got just some ransom on her. He's holding her puppy ransom hostage somewhere. Like, she wants nothing to do with the White House, with the public eye. She hardly ever sees the man. And there's a zillion videos of her swatting his hand away and avoiding his kiss, like when you're kissing your grandma or something. I was like, ugh, like, okay.
Think about the fact, dude, I don't know if it's like this anymore, but when you and I grew up and when our parents grew up, everyone talked about, like, oh, when you're a kid, I mean, one of the dreams is like, even you could be president someday. And, like, there were people that aspired to that because it was something to look up to, you know? Do kids still want to be the president? I don't know if that's true or not.
It's a great question. But when we were told that, I still thought there was some bar you had to meet, like some level of intelligence or experience. Yeah. We have definitely shown that any moron could be president. So
you're right.
I don't know. I mean, I think my kids think that would be an embarrassing thing because you think about my kids who are 15 and 19, like they have known Trump politics for the majority of their lives. Since 2016. So as much of their lives as they can really remember, Trump has either been the president or running for president or is the president. I mean, so they don't think the presidency is some noble thing to aspire to. They think it's something that corrupt sleazebags do.
Yeah. And that was my question because, there's not a lot to look at right now and be proud of. You know, you look like Kyle Rittenhouse, like these were the kids that were growing up during Trump that aspired to be for and like Trump. They're murderers, they're, you know, sexual deviants. So, yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know.
Just a few last comments coming in on YouTube because we're live right now. So let's see here. Melania loathes Trump. Yeah, that's for sure. Someone, CoTO8, when I hear Obama's voice, I feel so comforted, right?
Yes.
We used to elect people based on merit, not popularity. Yeah. And Donald J. Trump is a third grade dropout. I don't even think he made it to the third grade level. I mean, a lot of people have said he reads at a fifth grade level straight up. Like, that's not an insult. Like, based on his public speaking and the way he writes with random capitalizations and terrible grammar, like, he's about at a fifth grade level and probably about a B- fifth grade level.
Yeah. And from anywhere, you don't even have to look at the presidential area. You just have to think like, it's been said that he couldn't read cue cards on SNL. trial. If you've ever watched him in a deposition when he was pleading the fifth, like he had to read his statement from his lawyer, and it is so comical to see him try and read. He's not an intelligent person, so...
No, it's one of the reasons he has started to rip on people to use teleprompters. You're weak if you use a teleprompter, because there are countless times he has been reading off a teleprompter and stumbling and fumbling all over the place. There's nothing wrong with reading off a teleprompter, but the fact that he can't do it is why he tries to admonish everyone else. So, you know, he is the king projector. I mean, seriously, whatever you hear that man accusing someone else of, he has done himself or is doing right now, just like the medical story, you know, going on. So,
100%. You know,
no lack of things to talk about.
That's true. That's why we'll keep doing it. Thanks for joining the show live today on YouTube. We do it every Friday afternoon, and we'll just kind of take a look at the last week's political arena. And we thank you for joining us, dude.
Yeah, you can check out our website, thevocalminority.net, but that's really there just to direct you to our various social medias. We're on TikTok, we're on YouTube, we're on Instagram. Excuse me. We're on Blue Sky, and of course, we are part of the Really American team here. So we're doing this podcast live every week, and we're doing some of the short-form videos as well. So check all that stuff out, and check all the content out. I mean, like I said earlier, there's a lot of great full-length podcasts, and the work that all the hosts are doing is really just spot on and speaking to what so many of us are feeling.
Not even just spot on, but like if there's one thing I could say about the crew at Really American, it's that all these people, all the people you see putting out short form videos and content on this channel are in it because they care about what's going on. They're part of the resistance. They're trying to move the ball forward in our country, and all really genuine people. So all your support really helps out. We appreciate it a whole bunch.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we'll be back next week. In the meantime, follow all the socials.
Have a good weekend, y'all.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.